and that's we walk by faith and not by sight. And so I'm thankful, number one, sold the truck. Now, prayer number two, prayer request number two. There's a perfect truck out there somewhere. Pray the Lord brings that my way. Amen. We're going to get started this evening. I'm going to preach a really long time tonight. And I can be really honored since Pastor's not here. But I'm not going to be. I'm going to behave myself. But I'm just going to tell you, we're going to preach a long time. That way, set your expectations. It's better to oversell. Undersell and overachieve. There we go. Not oversell and underachieve. So let's oversell you tonight. See, I've got it backwards again. Let's undersell you tonight and overachieve. Amen. We're going to go to Luke chapter 24 and verses 13 and 14 is where we're going to start this evening. It says, "And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 60 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened." Amen. Let's bow our heads this evening. Lord, I thank you to God for the opportunity to be in your house on Thursday night. I thank you, Lord, for your presence. Lord, that we're feeling in this house and the words, Lord, that you've already been speaking to our hearts. I pray to God to continue, Lord, to encourage your saints tonight. You'll continue to lift us up, Lord, and you'll continue, Lord, to push us further, Lord, into your kingdom, into your word. I pray to God to anoint me to minister this message you've laid on my heart tonight. Use me, Lord, to help us and encourage us this evening. We give you all the glory and all the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated this evening. I just want to just share a little thought that I had rolling around in my mind. And I want to share, take a walk to Emmaus. Take a walk to Emmaus. And as I was getting preparing for this, I had an awful hard time trying to figure out how to spell Emmaus. And it's spelled exactly how it sounds, which is very odd for any word in the Bible. And but that word Emmaus. And but we find that there was two disciples. And later on, we're going to find that one of them's name was Cleopas. We don't know who the other one was. But they were two disciples that had been part of the following of Christ. And they had been there throughout the crucifixion. They had been there through the resurrection. And this is following just on, this is either the same day or the day after that they found Christ was no longer in the tomb. And so we find that the two of them begin to go to this little village called Emmaus. We don't really know why they were headed there, but it begins to kind of figure that probably one of them was from Emmaus. And they had traveled into Jerusalem and to experience the Passover and be with Jesus. And they had seen the events. And they were just very perplexed about what was going on. And so as they begin to depart from Jerusalem and they begin to head back to Emmaus, and they begin to travel together, we find that they talked together of all the things which had happened. Now, what I really want to do is just draw some lessons from these gentlemen as they walked to Emmaus. And you know what? It's really natural to talk to your companions about things that are close to your heart. You know, me and Brother Lucas, we ride around the truck quite a bit. We have some interesting conversations some days. And it's natural to begin to discuss things, Tate. Sometimes you discuss firearms, or you may discuss fishing, or if we're going to get a little more bold, we're going to discuss politics. And if we're feeling real spiritual, we're going to discuss revival and what God's been doing in the house of God. And you know, there's times in which it becomes very natural for us to discuss things that impact us with those that are close to us. And you know, some people don't discuss things at all. Some people don't talk. They're like, well, you know, I don't share my heart. Hey, you know what? I'm a little bit that way, personally. I don't share my heart with just anybody. There's a few folks that are just privileged enough to maybe see it from time to time. But, you know, and some folks, they'll talk to anybody. But it's natural to begin to discuss things that bother us with those that we consider companions or those that we have confidence in. And we find as they begin to go and they begin to discuss that the topic of discussion was one that pretty much perplexed all the disciples, all those that believed in the Messiah. It was something that there were just been so much that had happened, and there was so much to discuss, and so much they just didn't understand. There's nothing more frustrating than begin to conversing on a subject that you just don't really understand. Anybody been there when you tried to, converse on a subject that you just really didn't understand? Couldn't wrap your mind quite around it? And, it's hard to talk intelligently about something you don't understand. And what's even worse is when people don't understand it and they try to talk intelligently about it. What I find is that these two companions, there was no judgment going on here, but they were beginning to discuss and hash out events that they were just, they were just a little bumfuzzled about. Have you ever been bumfuzzled? Ever scratched your head? Ever just came up against something that you just didn't quite understand? You know what? We face things in life that perplex us many times. We come up against things that are trials, come up against things that are struggles, that are temptations or tribulations, that many times we don't understand where they come from. We find that these two individuals that were going to Emmaus, this is where they were at. They were talking about things, which is good, but they were talking about it because they just didn't understand where it was coming from. In some days, in some weeks, in some years, and maybe some lives, we deal with issues. We deal with problems. We deal with things that begin to concern us, or sometimes they confuse us. And we begin to find that it's easiest to discuss those things with somebody that's close. And you know what? That's good. There's nothing wrong with that. But did you know that there's some issues that it doesn't matter how much you discuss, how much you try to figure out, or how much you try to explain, you just don't know the whole story. So while they're talking and they're going And I don't think that they were probably moving at a fast rate. They were probably, they were kind of bummed. They were kind of just sauntering, I guess is the term for it. They were sauntering along. And they're going to Emmaus. And we find in verse 15 that it says, "And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned," I like that part. They were reasoning. They were trying to explain what they had witnessed, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were holding that they should not know him. Now, this was something spiritual that took place here, because Christ didn't want them to recognize him visually. To them, it was just a stranger, okay, walking up, here they are, they're walking down the road, and they're conversing, and they're reasoning, and they're trying to understand and make sense of all their hopes and dreams are just, boom, gone. And they're trying to make sense of what's happened. And then there's something else. There's a new twist here, because there's certain of the disciples that are reporting that the tomb was empty and he's alive. Now, these two didn't see the empty tomb, but more than likely they had heard the reports. But they're still on the fence of trying to decide if the reports are true. And so we begin to find that Christ comes and he listens to them and hears the conversation. And he said, "What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad?" I like it when Christ asks these questions that he already knows the answer to. But, generally if you're walking with a friend or a companion or a buddy and you're off on a journey, generally, you're not sad, are you? We've taken some hiking trips with the Rangers, and I will tell you this. When it starts, it's very jovial when it starts. Everybody's excited. Everybody's got a walking stick. Everybody's got a backpack. Everybody's got water. Everybody's hollering up and down the trail, and everybody's going fast. But when you're coming back out, about the only ones still going fast are those that are under the age of 15 years old. The rest of us are dragging out. We're not talking much. We're not swinging the sticks. And we're kind of exhausted and glad to be home. Well, as Christ overtakes him, he said, "Hey, you know, what are you communicating about that's got you so down?" You know, the child of God shouldn't be down all the time. I understand that there's days and there's times in which we get down and we get sad. But it's not the natural state of a Christian to be sad. We find in the one of them whose name was Cleopas answering said unto him, "Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days?" I like this. He said, okay. He's like, "Who in the world are you, and what rock did you just crawl out from under that you don't know what's been going on around here?" So the dazed, sad, and confused individual is fixing to enlighten the person that knows all about it. I like this. He says, "Don't you know? Where have you been? How could you miss this? How could you not understand what's going on here?" You know, sometimes we react that way to those that are around us. Sometimes we're going through struggles. We're dealing with issues. We're trying to make sense of the problems. And somebody comes up and they're like, "Well, you know, why are you down?" "Well, don't you know?" Sometimes it's in our nature to begin to lash out a little bit when somebody questions our struggle. And he said unto them, I like this, Christ said unto them, "What things?" He's like, "Enlighten me. Whatever this problem is, whatever's gone on and whatever's impacted and rocked your world so much, enlighten me on it." And they said unto him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty indeed in word before God and all the people." And then they begin to break down about this Jesus who was the Messiah, was the King of the Jews, and how he was wrongfully accused, and how he was brought before Pilate, and he was sentenced to death, and there was a crucifixion, and there was his mother and John and the ladies weeping at the foot of the cross, and there was an earthquake, and the sun went out in the middle of the day, and there was a Roman centurion that said, "Surely this was the Son of God." And to top it all off, the veil was ripped from top to bottom at the temple, and we saw people walking through the streets that we had not seen before. And then it got quiet. But then we heard reports that some of the women went to the tomb, and when they got there, he wasn't there no more. And instead of being elated and instead of being excited and instead of being happy about what was going on, they were perplexed. They were confused. They didn't understand, and they had forgotten the plan and the purpose. So he said unto them, "O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?" And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So he talks to them, and just put yourself in their shoes. Here's the person that doesn't know anything. Question them about events that he should know about. They're sad, perplexed, confused, reasoning, trying to explain what's going on. And he turns around and calls them fools. He's a stranger. He says, fool, oh, fool. I'm sure they're probably taken back just a little bit. They're just like, man, you know, here's the guy that doesn't know anything, and all here he is calling me a fool. And then he begins to, he takes them back to what they already know. I know I spent a little bit of time getting to this place because this is really where I want to tarry for just a little bit. Many times we're dealing with problems. Many times we're dealing with struggles. Many times we're going through things that challenge us. And we become perplexed. We become confused. And we begin to try to reason it out. When the real solution is going back to what you already know. So we begin to find that Christ took them back. And he took them from the Old Testament, from the beginning of the Old Testament, all through the Psalms, all through the prophets, all the way up into the minor prophets, and expounded to them the truths of who Christ was. And we find that as he was expounding this, according to Scripture, there was no interruptions. They listened to what Christ had to say to them. And so as they're going along, they look up and all of a sudden, they're nigh unto the village. All of a sudden, the walk that they have been going on, they cease to focus on it. They cease to focus on the problem. And they begin to listen to the solution. And so they get to the village, and Christ made as though he was going to continue on. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, because it's towards the evening, and the day is far spent. And so he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them. I want to pause just right there for just a second. How many times had Christ broke bread with the disciples? Multitudes of times. He took them back and reminded them of everything that they already knew. And then he took them to something familiar that they were very comfortable with. And he broke bread. And then we find that their eyes were opened. And they knew who he was. You know, there's times in life and as Christians that we get distracted. There's so much noise in the world. There's so much busyness that goes on. And you know, I experience this a lot. I probably don't experience this any more than anybody else. But some days I feel like I experience my fair share of noise and people demanding your attention. Multiple people demanding your attention all at one time. And it begins to be tough to drown out the noise and the problems. And we laugh about it. We joke about it. I talk to fellow, builders and subcontractors. I'm like, what are you doing today? Well, I'm putting out fires. Well, some days that's your entire job is just to put out fires all day long. But some days you focus so much on the problems and trying to come up with the solutions that you miss the answer to the struggle. And if we're not careful as Christians, we can become busy, we can be tied up and wrapped up in the problems of life that we begin to try to deal with and solve on our own. And as we begin to deal with them, we become perplexed and we become sad. To the house of God, our joy begins to depart, and we find ourselves struggling to continue on in this race. This is where the disciples were at Emmaus. They had begun to come up against some problems that they just couldn't solve on their own. And so what I begin to find is that Christ took them back, not to something new, not to something they had never experienced before, but he took them back to a place in which they knew, in which they understood, in which they were comfortable with, and he reminded them again who he was. Sometimes as Christians, I know we focus a lot on revival and God's going to do something new. But I can tell you, God wants to do something new in you, but it's not going to be anything different than what he's already done. But sometimes we've got to go back and we got to give a refresher to ourselves of the beans and cornbread, so to speak, of being a Christian. Because some days it's not all just fire. Some days it's not all just shouting. Some days it's not all just speaking in tongues. Some days it's a real struggle to be a Christian. And I found that as he took them back and they broke bread, you know what? Some days you just got to go back, church. Some days it's not just enough to remember you're saved. Some days you got to go get saved all over again. And I find as they went back and they break bread and their eyes were open and they knew who he was. And then he vanished out of their sight. They said one to another. This is where we always preach out of. It's a good spot to preach from. Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, while he opened to us the scriptures? Can I tell you that tonight everything's been lining up for this portion of scripture right here? Song Sister Lydia and Brother Robert saying, if you don't move the mountain, I'll keep on walking and trusting. We walk by faith, not by sight. The whole time they're sitting here conversing, they're listening to Christ explain to them. And for some reason, they just didn't quite piece it all together, but they felt it in their spirit. Now, I want to point something out to you. This was before the day of Pentecost. They didn't have the Holy Ghost yet. What were they feeling burning inside their hearts, though? It was the Spirit of God. But yet, there was not full clarity yet because the Holy Spirit had not yet been given. So you've got something more than the two disciples had at Emmaus. If they had had the Holy Ghost inside of them, when their spirit began to burn within them, there would have been instant clarification. What I begin to find is some days as we're fighting, some days as we're trying to herald the banner of truth and we're trying to live Christianity and we're trying to be the witness that God's asked us to be, there's times in which we begin to struggle and we begin to get distracted and the noise of this world begins to drown us out. And we begin, you know, you ever stopped and just kind of shook your head like that because it seems like it makes sense to clear your head? I never understood that. You know, we're going to shake our head to clear our head. And it's like anything you ever shake doesn't get clearer. It gets worse. But they said, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, while he opened to us the scriptures? Can I tell us tonight that there's some days that you just need to talk to God and you need to take your own walk to Emmaus? Because there's something worth a trip down memory lane. There's something worth a trip back to the roots. There's something worth a trip back to what you know. There's something worth a trip back to the familiar. There's something worth a trip back to beginning to reiterate to yourself the promises and the truths of Jesus Christ. Sometimes it's worth the trip back to give a refresher to your experience of salvation. Sometimes it's worth a trip back to begin to be refilled with the Holy Ghost. Sometimes it's worth a trip back in order to restore, to renew, and line up the things that have gotten awry in your life. Sometimes it's worth a trip back in order to revive your spirit. You know what happened? It says they rose up the same hour. The two sad guys that were sauntering along to Emmaus, whose countenance was down and they were very depressed and perplexed, and there was not a lot of problem solving going on. There was just a lot of oh me's that was going on, honestly. And, you know, nobody else gets there. Nobody else ever gets into the oh me's. I'm good. I understand that. But I find that as they revisited what they had always known, it caused something to rise up within them. And so they got up in the evening hour, and they made the hike all the way back to Jerusalem. Probably half of it in the dark. And found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them. So this is the group that they had previously left that morning. They come back to visit them again. It's saying, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. Can I tell you something? That it doesn't matter what you're going through. It doesn't matter what your problems are. It doesn't matter what the struggles are. It doesn't matter the mountains that are in front of you or the path that you cannot see. When you begin to get into the presence of the King and you begin to sit down at the King's table and you begin to eat the King's food and you begin to allow the King to feed you, it begins to cause something to rise up within our hearts that lets us know that we've been in the presence of Jehovah. And can I tell you that when you get in the presence of Jehovah and He begins to deal with you, and He begins to talk to your issues, He begins to talk to your struggles, He begins to talk to your problems, He begins to set some things right, can I tell you something? The problem didn't change. But the clarity was there. Can I tell you something? Sometimes it's not about the problem going away. It's about seeing the problem for what it really is. Because God has called us to be more than conquerors. He's called us to be renewed in spirit and to be stirred to action. And can I tell you that if you're down and you're sad and it seems that things are not going right, or maybe the path has gotten a little blurry, can I encourage you tonight that there's something to be found at the King's table? And when Jehovah begins to break bread with you, He'll take you to a familiar place. It's something that you've experienced before. And He will renew and revive your soul and your spirit. Sister Lindsay, come back to the piano this evening. Stand to your feet tonight here on Thursday night. Take a walk to Emmaus. Take a walk into something familiar. Take a walk that may, no, God help me. It may seem like it's a destination. But guess what? Emmaus wasn't a destination. It was a turning point. Sometimes God takes the paths that we walk. And we're headed in a direction. We think that's the direction. And we think that's the destination. But God takes that and turns it into a turning point. But can I tell you something? If they had not listened to the stranger, they would have missed the Emmaus experience. If we don't take time to listen to what God's got to say, you may miss your Emmaus experience. But when we begin to listen and let God lead us and guide us, and can I tell you, He's got the path in mind. He'll renew, revive, restore. He'll give clarity. He'll give direction. He'll give vision. Amen. Let's gather in these altars tonight. Let's have us a time of prayer. If you're sad, if you're perplexed, if you got things weighing heavy on your mind, I encourage you, take them to the Lord in prayer, because God has something to say about it tonight. If you're on cloud nine, you've coming off youth night, and God's done something great in your heart, then tonight is the time to begin to praise Him and thank Him for what He's doing in your life. If you're a little vague in what God's wanting you to do, tonight God can clarify your calling. I tell you what, if you got lost loved ones on your heart tonight, lift them up in prayer. Because I can tell you, when you begin to take your walk to Emmaus and you have a destination with Jesus Christ, that when you leave there, you will not leave the same.